your Bible and open to that. I get excited when I'm up here. I'll begin to talk really quickly. It sounds like I'm talking quickly now, just wait. It'll get more rapid. I'll have to keep a mental note to not get out of control because I have so much to say, and there's always a lot to say when it comes to the Word of God. But we're going to read from verses 14 down through the end of the chapter, verse 21. And so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let us pray, and we'll dive into this here tonight. Dear Father, I thank You for this wonderful opportunity to be here at Independent Baptist Church. Lord, to see these faithful people in person once again, and to stand here behind this pulpit and to share about our ministry and to proclaim Your Word. Now, Father, I pray that this message tonight is an encouragement and help to everyone that is here this evening. And Lord, it would draw us all closer to You, Lord, and our lives would be strengthened because of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, when I think about what it says in verse number 17, which is the main verse I kind of wanted to focus on here, I'll use some of the others and additional verses from other books of the Bible. And that verse one more time says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That word rooted obviously means to be frozen, stock still, non-moving, unmoving, to become settled, grounded, established, and stable in one's life. And that's what Christ wants every one of His children to be. And when I think about that verse and what it says in that verse, it reminds me about one of my jobs I had back in 1991. At the age of 21 years old, I was working that summer for the Forest Service, and in our local area, there was a tussock moss spray project, and that job came to a close, and they asked me if I'd be willing to go to Enterprise, Oregon, and work on a wilderness crew up in the wilderness area. Well, I love the outdoors. And so there wasn't even a question, a hesitation. I said, I'll do it. And so I was placed on a heavy maintenance crew, and we worked. We would pack in 4 miles into the wilderness area to reroute, dig new sections of trail, because the old trail had been washed out a lot, and it just kept washing out. And we were to reroute some of it, dig new trail. I was all for it. I was excited. Again, 21 years of age, up in the wilderness area for 10 days at a time, 4 days off. And they were paying me to do that. I couldn't imagine why they would pay me to do that, but I was excited about it. And so up in the wilderness area I went, and walking in there, when you got to a certain elevation, I noticed the trees in particular. As I was looking all over the place, taking in the scenery, which was beautiful, I noticed that there were predominantly two kinds of trees at that elevation. We were pretty high up. It wasn't too far. You could crest over the top of the mountain and go down the opposite side. And so we were up literally where some of the trees were starting to disappear. And in that area, it was predominantly spruce trees and then pine trees. Now, there's one thing about spruce trees. Their root system is not very deep. And, when you think about the roots of a tree, now I'm not a very knowledgeable man about trees and all the, things about them growing and all the, science and stuff behind it that some people know. But I do know this, their roots are not very deep into the soil. In fact, they spread out very shallow under the surface. And as you notice with spruce trees, you usually see them growing in groups. And so they rely upon each other for their strength in their root system. But a pine tree is totally different. A pine tree's roots go way deep. They're just they have root systems that are just incredible. Now, another thing about being up there in the wilderness area with the spruce and pine trees was there were no power tools allowed. And so everything that was done had to be done by hand. So we had to clear up through the trees a 12-foot wide swath, which meant that we had to fell the trees with the old-fashioned cross-cut saw, one person on with a handle on that side and me on the other side, and you would go back and forth with that, you know, like the old-timers did. And I tell you what, you really found out how hard work that was very quickly. And so we would fall trees like that. We also used bow saws and axes, and we used other bars and stuff to uproot the stumps, because the stumps had to be cleared in order for us to dig the trail, and our goal was to dig 300 feet of trail a day. And we did that and exceeded that many times. Now, why am I saying this? It all applies. Just hang with me, please. This is not a secular educational thing here. It fits perfectly with the Word of God. But, you know, in all those pine trees and a few of those pine trees, there's one thing else I noticed about up in that area, that there would be large patches of trees that were dead. They were gray, brown. Some of them were, you know, had fallen over due to rot, and majority of those were spruce trees. But in the middle of those spruce trees, a lot of times, or around the edge of the spruce trees, there'd be pine trees that would be green and flourishing. And it made you wonder, you know, why was that the case? How come the spruce trees were dying, but the pine trees were living and flourishing? Well, again, I believe it was back to their root system. Because, you know, the spruce trees, their roots were shallow. So they were prone to disease. They were prone to be blown over when a windstorm would come through. And I can tell you firsthand account that when you're up that high and a wind and thunderstorm comes through, it gets pretty active and pretty intense really quickly. But it doesn't last long. It blows over the top of you. It thunder and lightning snapping. I mean, literally the ground shaking before you ever hear. I mean, it's almost instantaneous with the flash of light from the lightning. The wind blowing, you could hear the trees making that groaning sound, and some of them making a popping sound, and you're thinking, I'm in here in a tent, this isn't going to be good. And so you just lay in your tent as the storm goes over, and you know, and literally you're just there waiting it out. But none of the trees I saw that were blown over were pine trees. And I believe, again, because why they were so able to withstand everything is because their roots were so grounded and, you know, deep into the soil, deep into the earth, and that kind of thing, that they were able to just take the abuse of the storm. They were able to withstand anything that attacked it. You know, some of the spruce trees would die because of a bug infestation. And I know that can happen to pine trees too, but, you know, these trees, some of them, I can remember walking up to one of these big patches of spruce trees that were dead, and some of them were laying over on their side, and some of the trees that laying over, they must have been 3 foot through in diameter. They were huge trees, massive trees. But nonetheless, they were laying on their side. They were dead. Their roots were exposed. And I tell you, you know, it just really made you think about what took place. Now, maybe I think too much, maybe I wonder too much, but, you know, it just really just stuck with me through all that. And then in 1994, when I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior and growing in the Lord, that experience in that job has always stuck with me. But I've seen something throughout the years, church. I've seen something that has happened to people. And it's unfortunate, it's heartbreaking, And, when I was pastoring, it was a great concern, and I have to be honest with you, even though I'm not pastoring the church, it's still a great concern that we see so many people that for a while they just seem to be flourishing and everything, but, you know, they're not as grounded in Christ as they should be. And so when storms and temptations and things come in their life, a lot of times that they're easily upset. In other words, toppled or harmed or whatever it may be, And then you have the people who are more grounded in Christ and they're weathering the storms. Now, a storm's never fun to weather. I don't care if you know Christ very intimately or not. We all have been through trials. We've all had things happen. And I tell you, it's never fun going through a trial, especially when it personally afflicts you, when it changes things in your life. I tell you, it's never fun, but yet God works through those things, and He uses that to strengthen us. He uses that to grow us. But also in that same process, sometimes people fall away. And that's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking. And so the spruce trees remind me of those that have fallen away, those that have withered because of the root system wasn't as deep as the pine trees. And the pine trees are the ones that, you know, just literally, they're weathering the storms, they're growing day by day. They're looking at the seemingly negative things, and they're praising the Lord for those negative things because they're growing in Christ. There's a reason for it, and they're growing stronger through it all. And I can't think of another person in the Word of God that had weathered some intense storms in his life than the Apostle Paul. I tell you, this guy went through so much in his life. We all know as an unsaved man, he was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he called himself. He was a vicious man. He was educated. He was no doubt wealthy, but yet he was vicious. He didn't like the church. He didn't like Christians. He didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. He was going about hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. I tell you, this man had a hatred for Christians. He had a hatred for the true God's work. And then he met up with the Lord on the road to Damascus, and from a hater, he became a lover of Christ. Seeing the Christians as enemies, he's seeing them as brothers and sisters, the dear brethren, those he poured his heart out to. And here he's writing to this church at Ephesus, and he's telling them to be rooted and grounded in love, in the love of Christ. Why? Because he knew that just like he had, they were going to face more storms in the future. There were things coming. And church, every time we think it cannot get worse, it does. I don't know why we always think it can't get any worse than what it presently is. But it always seems to get worse. And if you read the Bible, you know it's going to get worse. You know things are going to get more challenging. You know these things are going to happen. Why? Because the Word of God tells us it's going to happen. And we look back in biblical history and we see the different time periods that men and women of God have went through. You know, I just love the story of Joseph. Look what he went through. But how was he able to endure that kind of rejection? Sold into slavery. And there he is in Potiphar's house and things seem to flourish, right? And then Potiphar's wife lies about him. And where does that get him? In Pharaoh's prison. Now, I tell you what, he went from a slave out in the field to a prisoner in Pharaoh's prison. Now, listen. Egyptian prisons in that day, well, let's just say our prisons today would be like, look how nice this is. They were atrocious. The treatment of prisoners was, you know, I tell you, what they didn't have rights. You know, they couldn't, you know, get a hold of the ACLU and file a lawsuit and that kind of thing. There was no such thing in those days. And so, you know, they were just subject to however their keepers, their masters, were what they were going to do. They may go days without eating. But yet through it all, Joseph kept a wonderful focus on the Lord. How's that possible? I believe because he was rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. I believe he had such a love and he was so grounded in the Lord that even though he was enduring some affliction, and I'm sure there was times of heartbreak, you know, that he was just, you know, especially when his brothers sold him into slavery. I can only imagine as a young man, he was probably, why would they do this to me? But not just him. Think about like Daniel. We know about Daniel. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How could they be so willing, knowing that they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Because they were rooted and grounded in the things of God. They had deep roots. They were young, but they had deep roots, you know? And there's others as well. We can go throughout the Bible and mention one after another, but we also see where there's people that are not as grounded. You think about John Mark in the New Testament when he was with Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey, and he only went so far with them, and then he turned around and went back for whatever reason that may have been. The Bible's silent on the exact reason, but later on we see that he rejoined, and Paul himself even said that he was profitable to him for the ministry. So there was obviously some growing there, and his roots got deeper in the things of God, and he wasn't so easily beset by the things that he saw. But I tell you, it's so important, church, that we grow daily in the Word of God. Because it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get more difficult. And the only way we're going to be able to stand, I guarantee you, is not by our own power. It's by the power of Christ. And so there's some things about taking care of your roots that I wanted to talk about here tonight. There's some things that, I believe applies. And so, when you think about, here these roots and being grounded in love and the love of Christ, and one of the things that we have to be mindful of is to care by nourishing the roots of Christ. And what that means is, first of all, we need to be careful of pride. Now, these two things here are very elementary, but they're very prevalent throughout history. Pride is one of them. I tell you, Paul teaches us how to fight against pride in verse number 14. Look at that. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He didn't say, "Well, God, I'll handle it on my own. I've got this today." No, he said, "I'm going to get on my knees. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If anybody was prone to having a pride problem, it would be Paul. Why? Because of what he was before he was saved. It's interesting, even though you are a new creature in Christ, that old flesh seems to pop up a lot. Now, I don't know about you, but it happened to me. And I tell you one thing, we have to be very careful for is about pride. Now, going back to my time up there in the wilderness area in 1991, after a couple of days and figuring out how to uproot those stumps really quickly, I remember going up to a spruce tree. We felled a spruce tree, and I was going to tear up the stump, and it really didn't take much time at all. A little digging here, a little chopping there, some prying, pop, that thing popped right out of the ground. It was nothing to uproot a stump that's that big around with a spruce tree. And you get really cocky. Look what I did. Ha! Give me another one. I can take it. Let's do this. But then I came up to a pine tree that we had fallen about this big around. And that thing worked me for hours. I called it the pine of humbling. I went from, I can do this. I felt like I was just, something special there. And I found out that I wasn't special at all. And that tree was going to humble me. And it did. That stump humbled me because I fought and I fought and I dug and I pried and I chopped and I did all these things. And I thought, man, what in the world is going on? This thing is not that big. But yet, I can't get it out of the way. And when I finally got that thing up and out of the way, I tell you what, I thought about taking it home with me. I'll never forget this thing, like some kind of a pet I found, some animal or whatever. But the thing of it is pride can creep in really easily into our lives. And it doesn't come flooding in like a stampede. It comes in very subtle, through one little circumstance after another. And we know pride is destructive. Pride is terrible. And Paul here gives us right away an answer when we care and nourish for the roots of our love for Christ, because you know what pride will do to those roots? It'll hinder them. It's like a disease. It'll stunt their growth. Why? Because we stop growing in the Lord, we stop looking to Him, and we start focusing on ourselves and what we're doing instead of what Christ can do and what God needs to do and wants to do in our lives. But the second thing here is indifference. Have you ever heard this? I will do it later. I've said that one too many times. And that usually translates in not later in the day, not the next day, but maybe weeks, sometimes months, and even years before something gets accomplished. And I tell you, it just kind of, you know, it just sneaks in, and I'll do it later. You know, we get our eyes off of the Lord. We get lax in our Bible reading. We get lax in our prayer life. We're not bowing our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ like Paul was. And I tell you, pretty soon, we just lose that urgency and that need for God in our lives. Why? Because we become indifferent. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit when He's speaking to us and those kind of things. We're, our mind and our attention's on everywhere else. In fact, Mark 14:9 tells us, in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. What are the lust of other things enter in? How good we are. Or, you know, here's one. I'm tired. I deserve a break. It's all right to be tired. But sometimes we allow the break to turn into more of a break than it needs to be. And we begin to lose the urgency. Church, I'm not asking anybody to raise their hands here tonight. In fact, I don't want you to raise your hands, but has there been a time in your Christian life when you've went days, maybe weeks, without reading your Bible? That you've went days, maybe weeks, even months, without ever praying to the Lord? You know, it becomes very easy to do that. Why? Because we've become indifferent. We you know, things like pride come into our lives, and maybe it's not really all pride or anything of that nature, but there's something that's happening that's hindering our root system, and we're not caring for that as much as we should. And church, we need to care for those things, because I tell you, that's our connection with God. Yes, we're a born-again child of God. Once saved, always saved. You either have eternal life, everlasting life, or you don't have it at all. But the fact of the matter is this, we can sure distance ourselves from God. We can stop hearing that still small voice when He's speaking to us. And I tell you, if we keep keep those roots of love for Christ nourished and flourishing and everything, then when God speaks, when God directs, we'll recognize who it is and where it's coming from, and we'll respond to that. And we'll have that urgency, you know, to do what God wants us to do, and we'll continue to grow in our Lord. And you know what happens? Secondly, church, those roots become stronger. Now, back in the 90s, I know some of you are probably too young for that. Maybe others are not. I know I remember this very well. But, church, there was a scientific experiment that took place. Scientists made biospheres. I don't know if you remember it. They tried to create the perfect environment. They brought animals, and they brought plants, and they brought trees into this man-made perfect environment, as close as they could get it to perfect. And the scientists actually sealed themselves in there too. And so here they are in that environment. They're studying the animals. They're studying the plants and the trees. They're studying all these things. And I tell you, things are growing rapidly. Things are growing big. Things seem to be growing really strong in this perfect environment. But when they took those things, like the trees, out of that man-made perfect environment, and they put them in the real world, when the wind picked up, the tree snapped. Like it was nothing. Pow. Why? Because they have never in their life been been subject to a storm. And those storms, when a tree blows and rocks and you hear that creaking sound, if you're ever up in the mountains and you hear them go, yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, especially if it's pitch dark outside and you're like, hopefully that stays up and not down. But you hear that, and what's happening here is it as it flexes, there's little tears that are going on and inside the tree. And what it's developing is what they call stress wood. That makes the tree stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, not all trees survive that. Some do get to a point where they do snap off, and we know that. But some others, you know, they continue to grow and they thrive, and they become massive-sized trees, and they've been through a lot of storms. But the only way they get there is because they're strong. Their root system's strong. Their anchor in the ground is strong. Their trunk is strong. Everything about them is strong. Why? Because because that root system has grown and there's nourishment that has went up there. They've endured some storms and they got some stress wood that they've developed, and it's made them stronger and harder. And I tell you, it just begins the whole tree begins to flourish. And I tell you, it's the same thing for us as Christians. We begin to flourish. Why? Because our roots are deep in Christ. The trials we've been through makes us stronger, you know, we go through one storm after the next. We can look and see the hand of God through it all. We can see how down the road sometimes we don't know why in the world we had to go through what we went through. You know, we're kind of scratching our head. We wonder about it. I wonder if Joseph was like that. Why did this all have to happen? But I guarantee you, when he was governor of Egypt and there was a famine in Palestine, he became... Now, he is not the Savior, but he became like a Savior to the people of Palestine and his own family. You see, because he had such power that Pharaoh had granted to him secularly, but we all know it was of the Lord that God put him in that position. And because of Joseph's vision, and because Joseph was urgent about things that he did, he was very proactive in the things that he did, and he kept those roots of love growing in the Lord, that God allowed him to store up food for many years because he knew that there was a famine coming. Why? Because God told him. He didn't sit back and wait for the day before it to happen. He started preparing now when God gave that to him. And he started preparing now, and he started making those provisions now, and he started doing things now. And each day it went by, he was working, and the people working too, doing these things. And then when the famine hit, people were starving to death. But they heard in the land of Egypt they had plenty of food. And so who came to get food to bring back to Palestine? Those old brothers that sold him into slavery. You know, Joseph had the opportunity. Here's something else I want to just note, church. Here's something else. Joseph, in his power, could have taken their life like that. He could have said, ha-ha, you did this to me, now I can do this to you. But Joseph never did that. And I believe the reason why he didn't is because the love that he had for God. What God was doing in his life. And I tell you, it was amazing. We all know the story back in Genesis. But think about how, you know, in our own Christian life, how the Spirit works within us. Verse 16 tells us that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And I love what it says there. He would grant you as to give to you, to grant to one asking, to have, to supply, furnish necessary things. And you know what? That's what God does for us. He supplies the necessary things. And we grow from those things. And we learn from those things. And Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But sometimes we give up on asking. We give up on seeking. We give up on knocking. And something happens to our roots along the way. Instead of becoming stronger because they've been cared for, they become weaker. Church, don't let it weaken you. Don't get to that point. I tell you, if you feel like it's lacking now, don't let another day go by. Get it taken care of. And you know, not only did Paul pray and bow the knee to the Father of his Lord Jesus Christ, and he allowed the Spirit of God to work and strengthen the inner man, as it says in verse number 16. But you know, I know one thing that God, that Paul would meditate upon the Word of God, and I love the verse back in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, as it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observest to do according to all that is written therein. Now notice this last part. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, success and prosperity come through God. I tell you, you know, there are rich people out there today, but they're pretty unhappy people. If that wasn't the case, then we would see Hollywood actors and actresses. They'd be the most happiest people ever. They're not. They're miserable. They're miserable. Not many of them are happy at all. In fact, you know, they're just miserable people. And you got to wonder why. Well, you know, they don't have the love of Christ. Their roots are not very deep. They're out there trying to flourish in the world, and the world's cruel and harsh and uses and abuses and casts them away when they're no longer popular and useful anymore. And I tell you what, the world will do the same thing to us if we're not careful. You know, we can be sidelined instead of being on the front line. I'd rather be on the front line, church. I don't want to be sidelined. There's been many times in my Christian life, I beg God, please, God, don't sideline me. Don't put me out there in the pasture to wither away. Lord, I want to be front and center to serve you. I want to be doing something for you. Lord, don't cast me away. Keep me going. Help me. Point the way before me. Make it clear. Speak to my heart. I pleaded with him and cried with him. And I tell you, you know, we need to be doing those things, because if we don't, we can be out there in left field instead of being center field. And lastly, and I'll hurry, if we nourish our roots and they become strong, here's something that's interesting. The body will grow. Now, church, he wrote this to a church. And in verse number 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." You know what the natural outcome of everybody nourishing their roots for Christ and letting God strengthen those roots? The natural outcome is that the body will grow because the root is being taken care of. You know, verse 18 says, "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height." And what's happening there, you know, we're striving together, we're working together, we're encouraging one another. You're seeing me grow, I'm seeing you grow. We're getting excited about things that God is doing. We're sharing things about what Christ is doing in our lives. And you know what that helps? That's like an extra dose of fertilizer for us. Makes us grow even more. We get excited about it. It's like you come home and you say, "Man, hey, you never guess what happened to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. This is just amazing. Isn't this good? Isn't God good?" And we share those things, and it's exciting, you know. You smile, you can praise the Lord. And that word comprehend means to understand, perceive, and to learn. We're learning together. We're growing together. And some trees, you know, they spark other trees, start other trees by the root systems that they have. And they begin to multiply. A little shooter here, a little shooter there. You have some of those trees close to your lawn, you know what I mean. They're always popping up in your grass. You think, where are they coming from? They're coming from the roots. Why? Because the roots are flourishing. And they're beginning to pop up everywhere. They're beginning to grow new. There's new growth everywhere. And if you let them grow, pretty soon, you know, they're too big to run over with a lawnmower. You might need to get out the bow saw. If they get too big, you might need to get out the chainsaw. But I guarantee you, after a while, if you let them grow big enough, you're going to have an extra stump in your yard. And I don't want to pull it up. I'll leave that up to you. But the fact of the matter is, the body will grow if the roots are continually cared for. And God is able to do anything. It says here in verse number 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What is that power? You go back up to verse number 16. It's the Spirit. It's by the might, by his Spirit in the inner man. It's the Spirit. Why? Because the root is being taken care of. It's being nourished. And why? Because you, like Paul, are down upon your knees. And you, like Joshua, are meditating day and night upon the Word of God, and you're observing to do all that is written therein. And I tell you, you know, your labor is true, your labor is great, but yet you're beginning to see the way prosperous and successful in your Christian life. And church, that's what this world needs. You know, we may be in darker times, but I honestly believe it's a good time for Christ to shine. People are searching all over the world, church. All over the world, they're looking for something. They're searching for something. They're looking around, and they're told, I'm just going to use the pandemic as an example. They're told to get the shot. But now they're told that the shot won't work for the new variant that's coming out. They get conflicting reports about this and about that, and people are confused. They think, well, you know, this is an expert, and the expert says this. But then all of a sudden, the expert changes their story and says something else. And people are bewildered. People are upset, and people are like, Can I believe and trust anyone? Well, yes, there is someone you can trust, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the Savior of the world. And if you allow him to establish roots in your life, you will flourish and grow, even in the most difficult of situations. You'd be in the darkest of times like Joshua was, or in the lion's den like Daniel, or in the fiery furnace like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You could be on the prison ship like the Apostle Paul. You could be challenged like the Apostle Peter. But yet, you know what's interesting about Peter? You know what's interesting? There's two times. There's two times where Peter's dealing with water. One of them, he walks to the Lord on the water. The other time, after he denied him, and he went back fishing, you know, and I love fishing, but you know what? Fishing doesn't come before Jesus Christ. And so what does he do when he sees the Lord over on the shore? He's the first one out of the boat to swim to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in each situation, church, each situation with Peter, he wasn't concerned about what was in the water. All he knew is he needed to get to Jesus. The one time he was concerned, after a short time of walking on the water, he began to sink. But who was there to not let him perish? It was our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, church, what I'm saying here tonight is this. Is your roots growing in the Lord? If they're not, I hope you want them to grow again. If you're struggling in some areas in your Christian walk, I tell you, no better time than the present to come and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and pour your heart out to Him. Beg and plead with Him. You know what? It's all right. If anybody could have heard me those times, I literally was talking out loud to the Lord. Lord, please, don't sideline me. And it wasn't just in a calm tone. I was like, Lord, urgency. Lord, don't sideline me. Don't give up on me. Help me in this area. I want to be used by you. I was speaking out loud. I was very sincere in regard to that. And you know what? There's been many times afterwards I've done the exact same thing. Lord, help me in this situation. I don't know what to do. Lord, I pray, I beg of you, Lord, help this person. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe tonight you need to come and just pour your heart out to God and say, God, I need help. I could be rooted and grounded in love a lot deeper than I am with you, but I'm not. But you know what? In God's Word, what is He to say? Come. Why? Because He's there. He's the one that's going to take care of everything. So as we stand, Pastor, would you come please and take over this invitation here tonight? How's your roots, church? Are you growing? Are you thriving? Or are you struggling? It's all right to struggle. There's nothing wrong with that. Because we have a God that's just waiting to do great things, wanting to do great things.